Mihir Shah is the CEO of Drobo, and he's here to talk to us about some storage strategies for photographers. All right, Mihir, welcome to This Week in Photo. How's it going?
Hey, Frederick. Thanks for having me. I've heard a lot about your show, and I'm excited to be here and tell you a little bit about the Drobo story. So, very happy to be here.
That's cool. I'm happy to have you here. As you know, we were talking about before we started recording, I know Drobo. I'd spent some time with the companies, 6-7 years ago I was there helping out with marketing. And, you know, I'm really happy to see the company is firing on all cylinders. I've got two of them here. I got my Drobo 5D and the new 5N that we're going to be talking about, 5N2. The network attached storage unit. So you guys are the backbone of many photographers' storage needs. So let's start off with that. Let's start off with just a little bit of background on Drobo and what the mission of the company is overall.
Where all roads apparently lead back to Drobo. So, obviously we weren't here at the same time, but
exactly.
Appreciate all the marketing investment of your time that you had done in the past. I think it really drove the business to focus on the creative space, right? And, what was really interesting, the business has been around since 2005. Yeah. It was a classic Silicon Valley startup that raised a ton of capital, but then at a certain point kind of lost its way.
Yeah.
It went from the creative segment to more like enterprise and business type products. And when I inherited the organization, was losing a ton of money. Yeah. And, we had to get in there and really fix the business operationally, and as well as figure out who Drobo wanted to be when we grow up.
And who you wanted to serve, right? Who's the market? Is it the rack server people, or is it just the nerds like me running around with cameras, right?
Exactly. And what we did was we took a look at our customer base, and one of the things I tell folks, I last year talked to about 500 end customers personally, right? To figure out why they like Drobo, what they used it for. And it became very apparent to me that, our mission is really to help creative people share their stories and preserve their stories.
Yeah.
And on top of that, really preserve their time. There's a lot of devices out there that take so much time to configure and do those types of things when, the creator should really focus their time on doing what they do best. And that's, taking videos, doing photographs, editing, and really the artistic components of their work product.
Yeah. I look at it, to draw an analogy, I look at it like a security system. Like, I recently had a security system installed in my home, and I was telling the installers and the salespeople and all that, I was like, all these bells and whistles are great, it's wonderful, but in the end, I don't want to know about the system. I just want it to work, kind of like electricity, kind of like my plumbing. I only want to hear about it if it's malfunctioning. That's the only time. The same with my storage. Like you're saying, I want to be a photographer. I just want to be able to put my stuff on the drive and know that it's safe and it's going to be there when I go back for it, whenever I go back for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is, we got to make things simple. Right. And that's one of our core value proposition is really around simplicity and ease of use.
Yeah. Well, for the folks that may not have heard of a Drobo or a device like this, give me the rundown on what a Drobo is.
Sure. A Drobo is and I'll try to make it as simple as possible. It's a storage array. And what it does is it takes a bunch of internal drives and creates a large pool of storage for creative professionals and people who just generally have a lot of data that they want to save and preserve. And it makes it accessible for everyday folks. So it's not complicated to set up. And so if you think about it, if you have 1, 2, 3, 4 terabytes of data, and I'm talking about millions of pictures and videos that you're taking of your families, your kids, or even in a professional setting, a Drobo allows you to, in a cost-effective manner, preserve that data and protect it against drive failures. Because if you have a single drive and you have all your stuff on that drive, those single drives fail. Mm-hmm. And they fail every kind of 1 to 3 years on the low end, and 3 to 5 years if you spend up on a higher end product. And so the Drobo protects you in the event of a drive failure, because if one drive fails, your data is still accessible, and it's what we call striped across the other four drives, if we're talking about a 5-bay unit.
Yeah, like the one in the photo behind you is a 5-bay unit. Each one of those little green lights on there represents a eSATA drive that's in there, a spinning hard drive.
Exactly.
Right? But to your Mac or to your PC?
That's old school 4-bay one, actually.
Oh, that's old 4-bay. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, but that's a good example. So four drives in there. To the Mac or PC that's connected to that drive, it just shows up as one big fat drive, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and that's a direct attach. So we have direct attach products as well as network attached products.
And I want to talk about that. So that's a good segue into the network attached storage. So obviously, network attached storage, instead of plugging in through FireWire or USB 3 or whatever into your personal computer, instead you're plugging it into your router or to your network, and then it becomes accessible on the network to whomever you've given permission to. So my question, I want to talk about that and how that, what are the use cases for that versus just plugging it in directly to your computer? And then firstly, devil's advocate, why would I want to use network attached storage in my home versus paying and using someone like I don't want to name any names, but like a cloud service provider to put all my data up there. That way it's accessible wherever on the planet I am, given internet access.
Sure. And again, if you're a home-based user, or kind of what I like to call a hobby photographer, or just a mom or a dad who likes to capture the memories of their children, we know video and we know photographs are getting denser and denser with the new camera technology that's coming out. Yeah. Up to a certain point, I think cloud actually makes sense for certain people. And I like to demark that at about 500 gigabytes to about a terabyte. Mm-hmm. When you start getting files or your data that's larger than that capacity, cloud actually becomes a very expensive proposition, right? When you look at and it's not really the storage piece, Frederick. What the cloud providers don't tell you is there's what's known as ingress and egress charges. So they won't charge you for putting data on their servers, but when you want to recall that data, they'll start charging you per gigabyte or per megabyte as you start recalling that data. So it's a little dirty little secret that they don't tell you about right after you get over that 1 terabyte. And I'll give you an interesting example. I have a we have a customer who's a chiropractor, and he his firm backs up X-rays. And his first initial inclination was, "Hey, I'm going to go put everything on the Amazon cloud, right?" Mm-hmm. And he put all his X-rays up on the Amazon cloud. And he noticed as his business grew, his Amazon charges kept on increasing astronomically. And he's like, "Well, wait a minute, I don't have that much more data every month." But what he realized was when he was pulling X-rays back to show his customers, that they were charging these egress charges, or pulling money out of your vault, if you will. It's almost like an ATM fee, yeah, right? Yeah. Every time you kind of pull it out. And so, you know, what a NAS or a small NAS device does is it uses your existing network. So if I have over a terabyte of data, right, and I want to access my NAS device from anywhere that I am, you know, we have an application called Drobo Access. So it's like your own cloud, but the data sits and resides within your four walls, and you're existing the cable and the networking infrastructure that you already have. So you're not paying for those egress charges, if you will. So we're seeing a big increase in people saying, "Oh, this is kind of like my private cloud, right? I can kind of put all my data there." You know, people use it to share. They back up their laptops. If you have a family with 3 or 4 laptops now, everybody's got a laptop in the household, and they want to back up all their files, then you can have multiple folders for different family members to back up their files, to share pictures, to share videos, you know, and those types of things. So we're seeing a good trend in that pickup. In fact, our 5N2, we can't keep enough in stock. Which has been, you know, it's a hotcake. I mean, you look at the Amazon ratings are just through the roof on that product. We're above 4.5 stars on that product. And so, you know, we think NAS is going to be, you know, here for a while.
Well, that's a good point. And I love mine. I have one here as well, the 5N2. And my one of the like me putting on my photographer hat, right, and having all my data on the Drobo, and you know, knowing that it's safe with the redundancy and the striping, as you mentioned. One thing that I hear from other photographers is you need offsite backup as well.
Sure.
Right. So I'm in, you know, my house is great. When everything is working great, it's great. I can get to my data. It's perfect. But say I go on a trip and I come back and my window's broken and, you know, Drobos are missing. Now yep. all my eggs are literally in one basket, you know, versus them being in the cloud. What do you suggest, like from the heart of storage professionals down there, what sure. do you suggest we do to safeguard?
Yeah. So kind of, you know, the what I like to call the photography industry norm, and I always like to reference a gentleman by the name of Vannelli. You know, he came up with this 3-2-1 backup, right? So, you know, we always suggest have 3 copies of your data, mm-hmm. 2 on site and 1 backup into a cloud. Mm-hmm. And you can backup into kind of a Backblaze or one of these places where it's just in the event of a fire or one of these crazy things that happen, these exogenous events. You can fully replicate that data. It might cost you money to go do it, but at least you know all your IP is protected. So the typical thing that we see is we see folks with either a Mac or a PC. They have a 5D or 5D3 attached to the main server, the host, yep. and that's used for editing purposes. And then the 5N is your kind of internal backup, or the 5N2. And then what they do is they take the 5D and then they also back that up to the cloud. So you kind of have that full-blown solution. And that's kind of what we recommend. The other things we do recommend is always put your things on dual disk redundancy, right? What happens most often or not is if you go to Amazon and buy 5 2-terabyte drives from any manufacturer, if for some reason they came from the same lot and there was some defect that happened, the probability is that there'll be multiple failures in that pack that you bought. And so we suggest put it on dual disk redundancy. We suggest, you know, make sure you buy higher performance drives like 7200 RPM. Don't go on the cheap desktop drives, you know, that last maybe 1 year if you're lucky, or 2 years. You know, you kind of get what you pay for. And if your images and your art is important, we suggest you buy quality.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, if you're a digital content creator of any kind, the bits are your bread and butter, right?
Yep.
So it's like, you know, I'm a race car driver, but I'm gonna buy cheap tires for my car, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely. I totally agree with that. So my list here, I wanted to talk about. So we were on the tangent of NAS storage and network attached storage. From your perspective, are consumers understanding that now? Because back in the day, or even just a couple years ago, it was like, you know, I'm just gonna go to Fry's Electronics. I'm gonna buy me a couple of, you know, Thunderbolt drives and plug them in and be done with it. Maybe I'll buy 2 and make a copy of the first one with Carbon Copy Cloner if I'm really feeling, you know, like I need that safety. But having something plugged into your network seems foreign to a lot of people, or slow to a lot of people. Can you talk to that a little bit about the speed and the adoption of network attached storage into the mainstream?
Sure. So, you know, here's where we get a lot of questions, especially when we go to trade shows. Look, my iPhone is getting full because the pictures are denser, and I'm getting annoyed by my cloud service like Apple and these types of guys wanting to charge me more and more for my backup. Or we get, hey, if I back up my stuff into Google or Google Photos, are my images safe? Are they compressed, you know, and those types of things. And so we are seeing pretty big adoption of NAS, what I like to call in kind of the higher end consumers. So if you're going to go spring for a $2,500 or $3,000 Mac, that customer profile is starting to understand, you know, the benefits of NAS. I still think there's kind of the lower end of the segment who values price over anything. You know, those guys will still continue to buy single drives or things that are a little bit less in quality. And so that's kind of where, you know, where we're seeing the adoption from our customer base is really higher end consumers that want something that looks good. But at the end of the day, you know, Frederick, if it's not easy to set up and use, you know, nobody's going to want your product. Cool. And, you know, fortunately, we have a product where, hey, you know what, we walk you through 10 steps. You plug it into your router, you download the Drovo dashboard, it discovers it, and it's three clicks to go set it up. So I think the cloud people are starting to realize, I don't like subscription, right? I just don't like paying a monthly rental fee. Mm-hmm. We get, you know, the folks that are now starting to run out of their single drives, or you know, Apple discontinued the Time Machine or the Time Capsule.
Yeah.
Right. So we have a Time Machine backup built into our device, so you can, you know, you can go back up your you can use that Drobo device as a target for your Time Machine.
I didn't know that. Oh, cool. So can you set up a volume on the device and target that volume?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. I'm doing that after this call.
So you know, and they got out of that market. And so we think with our customer base, obviously we need to market that a little bit more. But when I talk to customers, oh, love it for my Time Machine backup. And because Time Machine versions it every so period, I can go back in time and say, that's the version of the desktop that I want.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Mihir, give me some peace of mind here. Right. So a lot of photographers, like you mentioned in the beginning, Drobo has had sort of a rocky road up till now. Now it's kind of firing on all cylinders. But there was that rocky period before all the cylinders started firing up. Right.
Sure.
Which is concerning when you're putting your data on a device, especially if you're a digital content creator. You're like, OK, I want to put my data on there. Is that company going to be here tomorrow? Kind of thing. Can you talk to that a little bit? Like set the our minds at ease that if I buy a Drobo today, I'm not going to be scratching my head in 2018.
Yeah, look, we've done so much work in turning this business around. You know, this business was losing so much money when we inherited the business, and you know, we've been fortunate enough to put together a world-class team here of people who know how to operate hardware companies, people who know how to manage finances, people who know how to market the product. And so I'm extremely confident, you know, in, you know, the future of Drobo. You know, the things that we're looking at as a company, and we just had kind of our strategy offsite a couple weeks ago, is, you know, what is beyond Drobo, right? We make storage devices today, but how can we really make life even more easier for the creative professional? And so we're embarking upon this journey of not just providing storage devices, right? We want to be able to help, you know, our vision, and we kind of crafted this, is how can we help our artists create, share, and monetize on their stories, right? Yeah. And so you're gonna see a lot of cool things come out over the next 2 to 3 years that's really going to simplify the whole creative process for folks like you and I. This is not targeted to CBS, NBC, CNN. Yeah. We know that the fastest growing segment of the market is YouTube content creators and Facebook content creators. Yeah. Those individuals, because they're starting off, cannot afford $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 pieces of equipment, right? We want to be the people that help them create their stories on our platform. And that doesn't just include storage. So little sneak peek at what's coming, hopefully over the several years.
That's awesome. And that's a good place to target too. Cause like you said, the content, and not just, I would expand it beyond just YouTube and Facebook, right? Cause it's YouTube and Facebook here today and the end of 2017, but you know, back in the day, we thought MySpace and Friendster were the future, right? You know, there will be other services that show up. We're getting these phones that are shooting 4K video, and we're going to be filling those up. We need places to put those images. We're creating more and more audio and multimedia content. So it's all, the future is digital.
And it is.
The thing that people don't think about, yeah, the future is digital. I can do all this magic stuff, but you got to put that stuff somewhere. And it's got to be backed up. It can't be like, oh, I'm just going to put it over there on this shaky, rickety pier and let it sit there. You know, it's got to be in a rock solid vault somewhere that you can go back to whenever you need it, right?
Yeah. Have I don't know if your viewers have used our Drobo Pix app at all.
Oh, have I don't know. Tell me about it.
So this is, you know, literally week 5 when I started this gig. You know, how come we can't back up all our pictures on our iPhone wirelessly, mm-hmm. right? And so now Drobo Pix is an app, completely free, or maybe it's 99 cents on the App Store. When I walk into my house, off my Wi-Fi network, it sucks all my pictures and videos off my phone and organizes them for me by device, by year, and by month.
Really?
All in full res.
And it's, oh, okay. Now we're talking.
Yeah. So when I walk into my house, I turn on the Drobo Pix app, and all my pictures are uploaded to my Drobo.
So I wonder, so this is me thinking out loud. So if I turn that on, those are coming in. I'm wondering if I could target Lightroom to see that folder and automatically bring it in. So at the end of the day, I walk into my house, everything I shot that day or whenever gets backed up onto my Drobo. Next time I launch Lightroom, I look in that gallery that's called iPhone 10 or whatever, and I see all those images in there. That's what I want.
You create the folder, and you can target it to whatever you want.
That's killer.
So you know, it's these things that, again, making your life easy, yeah. Right? And I got to a point where, you know, what happens, right? On the weekend, my wife comes to me. Hey, my iPhone is full. I need a new iPhone. Whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean you need a new iPhone, right? $1,000
piece. I love that statement. That's the statement Apple loves, you know.
Right. And so, you know, and I was like, why do I have to plug it in? Why do I have to get, what's that, capture image app, whatever it is, draw it over, put it on something. It's like a 4-hour process. Now, my wife comes in, I come into my home, all the pictures are backed up, and I could delete all the pictures and videos off my phone, free up space.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Okay, so then let's talk security then, right?
Sure.
So you do that. Many of the pictures that you take on your phone, which is your most personal electronic device, right? They're personal. You don't want everybody to see them, whether it's, you know, a picture of a car you're thinking about buying or whatever, your dinner. You know, it might be personal. You don't want that exposed to the world. When I think network attached, the first thing I think, especially in today's climate, is hackers. Sure. You know, would have, not that somebody wants to target little old me, but they could, right? So if someone, you know, it's like I live in a neighborhood, many of the houses look the same, but they're going to come into a door, evildoers will come into a door that's open versus one that's got a padlock on it, right? So how does Drobo tackle that, when specifically with regard to network attached storage? If you're connected to the network, you're exposed to the world, presumably. How do you protect against that?
Yeah, so each file or each share would have a password. You could password protect it,
okay,
right?
You can lock it down.
So only you know, you'd be able to access it. The thing with the pictures is it's all driven by a QSR code to set up. So, you know, you would have to have access to the dashboard and those types of things to go do it. Okay. You know, the second thing is you kind of set it yourself. Look, you know, the cloud providers to a certain degree are centralized, right?
Yeah.
The most secure form of security without any crazy apps or security packages that you buy is small distributed security, right? It's like, why would a hacker want to come into my home to see my pictures, right? Unless they're really, unless I got something in there that they want really bad, right? And so, you know, my whole view is distributed products rather than centralized products probably provide a lot more security than kind of your standard cloud. Now, the cloud guys will tell you we spend a ton of money on this and a ton of money on that, which they probably do. But, you know, we're password protected. You know, we have you have the router that it's connected to. You probably have some type of firewall capability built into it. So we haven't had any security issues or things like that come up.
Yeah, I love it. One thing that I think of is a news story from a couple of years ago. It was about one of these well-known cloud service providers, and it had to, I'm trying to remember, but it had to do with the law enforcement getting a warrant to look at that particular share on that service, and they were able to get a warrant to look at that share of what this person was uploading, and this person was uploading nefarious photo content that shouldn't have been on there, and something in the service flagged it, and they notified the authorities, and boom, 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 right? And the gist of the story I was reading was that happens in a cloud service type environment, but when it's behind closed doors at your house, your data, no one can access your data without your knowledge, right? So they can't get a warrant to come in and say, hey, you know, give me your Drobo, right?
Yeah.
So as far as I know, I'm not a lawyer, but as far as I know, they can't do that.
Look, my view is if a nefarious government wants to come and access your data and do that, you're doing something pretty bad for them to come and get your things, right?
Yeah.
And so You know, we try to leave a little bit of practicality, you know, to this. You know, a lot of the, you know, there was some major data breaches actually at, you know, I think it was Dropbox or Box, I can't remember, where people got in and, you know, got passwords and those types of things. So I personally feel, and we feel here at Drobo, that because it's within your four walls, the probability is a lot less, because the amount of energy someone would need to take to attack the 400,000 Drobos we have over the world would be quite substantial.
Yeah, I love it. All right, Mihir, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it. I know we discussed the discount that you're going to give to the This Photo audience. To keep this interview evergreen, I'm going to tease it and say that there is a huge discount that you're giving us, but it's in the blog post or the YouTube description. So if you want to go in there to get the code, go to the description for this video where you're watching it, either in the blog post or on YouTube, and you'll see that. And just as a teaser, you are giving essentially $50, which is ridiculous, $50 off of anything in the Drobo store online with this little code, right?
Yeah, and we aren't offering these, at least on the, even on the new products, we're not offering any discounts on the traditional online retail stores, the 5D3 and the 5N2. So it's $50 off. It expires December 17th. So get it for the holidays for whoever needs their to save their data.
Yeah.
And quote, the code is TWIP50.
TWIP50, TWIP50. So for the people that are looking for gifts for photographers that seem to have everything, there you go. Right? And absolutely. I would say drives make perfect stocking stuffers, right? So the internal eSATA drives that you feed the Drobo, perfect stocking stuffers. So buy a bunch of those as well, right?
Yeah, let this be your Drobo Christmas this year.
There you go. There you go. All right, Mihir, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. I appreciate it. And any final parting thoughts you want to leave to the photographers out there?
No, look, guys, you know, like I tell people, you know, you guys are the artists. You guys are telling your stories. We want to make sure that we are protecting and preserving those stories, but more importantly, giving you guys back your time, you know, in setting up these devices. And your time you can spend, again, shooting more photographs and shooting more videos. And time is the most important commodity out there. So that's what we strive for.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, sir. You have a good day.
Thank you so much, Frederick. Appreciate it.